Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're doing something a little different. We are taking a real-time language class, a session on learning Bahasa Indonesia, and we're treating that as our source material.
Exactly. So for anyone out there learning Indonesian, or if you're just, you know, curious about language, this is for you. We're going to pull apart this one casual conversation to get at the really critical bits of kosakata, that's vocabulary, and the context where you actually hear these words.
Yeah, the goal here is pure utility. This deep dive should really arm you with the specific phrases you'd need for, I don't know, daily chat, travel, even business talk. The conversation we looked at was so rich, it had everything from professional stuff to like the simple struggle of waking up early.
We've kind of organized our thoughts by theme, just following the natural flow of their chat. So let's just jump in. Section one, this is where they were talking about the learning process itself, but also travel plans and that feeling of, you know, anticipation.
Okay, let's unpack this right away with, I think this might be the most encouraging phrase from the whole thing. One of the speakers said that learning Indonesian was lebih mudah.
More easy.
More easy, yeah. Daripada yang aku pikir, than I thought.
And what's just so brilliant there is the sheer simplicity of making a comparison in Indonesian. If you're learning, you have to master that prefix, lebih. You want to say something is more beautiful.
Lebih cantik.
More expensive. Yeah. Lebih mahal. It's just, it's like a grammatical Swiss army knife. It immediately makes you sound more fluid.
That simplicity is so key. And it ties right into how they were talking about time with this sense of urgency. The conversation pretty quickly turned to the holidays with the phrase, hampir akhir tahun.
Almost the end of the year.
Almost the end of the year.
And that urgency brought up some great practical vocabulary for just counting down. They were talking about the upcoming library, the vacation period, and one speaker was sort of struggling to figure out how to say 3 weeks left.
Which sounds simple, but getting that phrase to sound natural is a real hurdle for new learners.
It really is. And the nugget they landed on, the essential bit, was yang tersisa. This literally means that remains, or that is left over. So if you want to sound like a native speaker when you're planning something, you talk about tiga minggu yang tersisa.
The 3 weeks left?
Exactly. That phrase is just so functional for scheduling basically anything.
And they definitely had a lot of time to schedule it. The liber, the vacation period, was almost stubulan, almost a full month, right? From December into January. And the emotion behind it all was captured in this one phrase, tidak sabar.
Ah, yes. This is such a classic example of where a direct translation will just completely fail you. I mean, tidak sabar literally translates to not patient.
Right, impatient.
But if you say aku tidak sabar to someone, you're not complaining. You're communicating this huge excitement, this like deep eagerness. It sort of reframes impatience into a positive thing, you know?
So being excited is counterintuitively being impatient. And the reason for this impatience was really clear. They were feeling rindu keluarga.
Missing family.
Missing their family. And the whole idea was to pulang ke rumah, to go home, to merayakan Natal.
To celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
And you can pull three absolutely foundational words from that one sentence alone. You have rindu, to miss or yearn for. You have pulang, to go home, which you hear constantly. And merayakan, to celebrate. These aren't, you know, advanced words. They're essential.
That makes perfect sense. And from all that excitement about travel, the conversation just shifted abruptly right into the mundane stuff, the daily realities. Which brings us to our section two, daily life. Struggles and refreshment.
And we got some really practical phrases here right off the bat, starting with waking up. The difference between just saying you'd wake up bang on and saying I just woke up.
And the key there is that little word baru, akabaru, bangun, I just woke up.
Exactly. And that word baru is so critical. Remember, baru can mean new, but it also means just now. So you can talk about your mentor baru, your new mentor, or the fact that you baru makan, you just ate. That one word gives immediate time context. It's used all the time.
And that feeling of just waking up led them right into what felt like, I don't know, a really universal complaint, the struggle with modern air conditioning. This is where the chat got super relatable.
It did. Because it wasn't just, oh, the AC is broken. The criticism was almost philosophical. They said the air it provides is bukan udara alami. It's not natural air. And they were sort of lamenting this constant artificial cycle.
And the real pain point wasn't even the temperature, was it? It was the cost. That classic worry about listrik mahal.
Expensive electricity.
Expensive electricity.
And the verb choice here is just superb, so memorable. They said the electricity was being tersido. Just think about that image. The electricity is being like sucked or drained away.
Yeah.
If you're talking about utility bills, using torcido sounds so much more native than just saying used up.
That's a great verb. Wait, so if torcido means sucked or drained, could I use that for something else? Like if my milkshake was gone too fast, could I say it was torcido? Or is it really just for like utilities?
That's a great question. You could, technically, but you'd more likely hear it used for resources, time, money, energy. Torcido has this feeling of being drained against your will, you know, this constant unwanted consumption. So it's perfect for expensive electricity bills. It connects that external drain to your internal stress.
That makes sense, that connection. Because the conversation shifted right from that external struggle, the AC, to their internal world. One speaker mentioned having a dialogue internal during the afternoon.
Yes, and that internal state led right into the need for recovery. They contrasted being really capic, tired, with the ideal state of feeling sangit sagar, which is very refreshed after some proper rest.
And the sources even specified what the rest was for. It was istirahat, rest for the nervous system, which kind of elevates the conversation beyond just, I'm tired, you know,
Yeah.
becomes a discussion about actual wellness.
Absolutely. So moving on from the daily grind, the conversation shifted gears again, this time to professional updates. And that gives us section three, professional moves and connections, and some really excellent career-focused Kosakata.
The big news was about starting something new. Mulai business baru, starting a new business with a mentor baru, a new mentor. That word mulai, to start, that's another one of those foundational verbs.
They got really specific about the venture pretty quickly. They're making a boot camp to help entrepreneurs with their usaha mereka. Now, this is a moment where the nuance is really important. We have the word business, which is borrowed from English, but then we have usaha.
Okay, so how do you know which one to use? They both seem to mean business.
Well, business often refers to the company itself, the structure, but usaha literally means effort or endeavor. So when you talk about helping someone with their usaha mereka, you're emphasizing the entrepreneurial journey, the hard work, the personal effort that goes into their business. It feels a bit warmer, more supportive.
That's a really useful distinction if you're in a professional setting. And they were clearly talking high-level stuff. They even mentioned a concept that was grounding one of their meetings,
Yeah.
karmic management. I mean, that's pretty specific vocabulary to just pop up in a casual chat.
It really shows the breadth of the material they're covering. And speaking of professional dynamics, they talked about meeting a new colleague, Antonio from Italy, who was described as having bunyak energy.
Lots of energy.
Lots of energy. But what I found fascinating was the cultural observation they made right after that. While they were praising his energy, they also noted his tendency for, well, for interrupting people.
Right.
And that's a perfect example of how learning a language isn't just grammar, it's about decoding social rules. Talking about whether interrupting is okay gives you vocabulary around dynamics, like whether someone is being sopan, polite, or kuang ajar, a bit rude.
Shifting back to the more formal stuff, they talked about attending a conference where the main speaker was the Pembikara Utama, the keynote speaker.
Yeah, and the themes that speaker covered were pure business school nouns, you know, essential for anyone working in a professional setting. Kerjasama, collaboration, creativitas, creativity, technology, and seni, which is art, just confirms that Indonesian is perfectly suited for these high-concept discussions.
Now, here's the grammar point that I thought was the most insightful for practical modern use. The verb ikut. The mentor was going to ikut their progress.
This is such a key linguistic crossover. So
Yeah.
ikut basically means to join. You want to ikut a party, you join the party. Simple. But in the digital age, ikut has completely absorbed the meaning of to follow someone, like on social media.
And the source material gave us that crucial real-world connection. If you set your phone to Bahasa Indonesia, the follow button on Instagram or Twitter is literally the word ikut.
That's the shortcut right there. When you want to talk about tracking something or following someone's journey, you don't need some complex verb. You just use ikut. It's simple, it's common, and it works in both personal and professional life.
Okay, so we've covered business and daily life. Let's wind down with our last section, section four, food, flights, and final language nuances. This is when the speakers were getting ready for their upcoming Penerbangan, their flight to Bali.
The talk about Bangkok food gave us some really great distinctions. They specifically talked about jajanan versus makanan jalanan.
So what's the practical difference for the listener? If you're there, what do you ask for?
Well, makanan jalanan is the literal translation, street food. It usually means a full meal, like noodles or a soup. But jajanan, on the other hand, that usually refers to snacks, sweets, little fried things, appetizers. the quick bites you grab. So if you want a meal, you ask for makanan. But if you're just grazing, you're looking for jajanan.
And they listed everything they ate. Papaya salad, tom yum, sticky rice with beras ketan. And of course, that feeling of wanting to membawa some of it home.
To bring it home. Membawa is such an essential verb for travel, for shopping, anything. It just means to bring or to carry. So aku mau membawa hadiah. I want to bring a present. Again, just super functional.
Before they wrapped up, one speaker mentioned their downtime hobbies. They talked about Malukas painting and specifically using cat air.
Watercolor.
Watercolor. And they also had a plan to tidak keluar, not go outside during their rest days. That verb keluar, to go out, that's one you will use multiple times every single day.
For sure.
And finally, we got to the last little grammar hurdle of their class. The difference between aku pikir and aku kira. For a new learner, these seem totally interchangeable.
They do. And the conversation confirmed that a lot of the time, they are. They're sama aja, basically the same, in a casual chat. Both mean, I think, but. And this is where the sophistication comes in. While aku pikir is a pretty straightforward, I think it's raining, aku kira often has this subtle nuance, a hint of past reflection or an opinion that might have been wrong.
Oh, like, I thought X, but now I realize Y.
Precisely. If you're saying, I thought I had a meeting tomorrow, but I checked the calendar, you would lean towards aku kira. It suggests your current thought is correcting a past assumption. Understanding that little difference, Chest. It elevates your conversation from functional to really natural.
So what does this all mean? We started with this, you know, casual class recap, and by digging into it, we've pulled out dozens of high-frequency kosakata, words for everything from business collaboration to complaining about your electric bill.
I think what really stands out is that the best learning happens in context. By analyzing a real chat, you don't just memorize the word rindu. You instantly know that rindu kilwarga is the natural right way to say you miss your family. You learn how and why to use the words, not just what they mean on a list.
And that leads us to our final provocative thought for you to think about after this. The speakers briefly touched on Italian grammar, specifically how gendered words like signora versus signorino can reflect these deeper cultural conversations about things like feminism and hierarchy.
Which brings up a really interesting question. Given that Bahasa Indonesia is a largely non-gendered language, it doesn't assign masculine or feminine to pronouns or nouns, how might that basic structure of the language reflect or even influence cultural values? You know, ideas about identity, equality, or hierarchy in Indonesia, especially compared to languages that are so defined by gender roles. Just, it's something to think about as you continue your own journey with the language.